This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Last month, we brought you a series of stories focused on heroin addiction in West Virginia and the growth in not just its use, but also the number of overdose deaths as a result of its abuse. But what we did not explore in that series is the number of medicated treatment options available to West Virginians suffering with addiction, treatment that can be a controversial topic. One West Virginia lawmaker is pushing a new medical option he says can't be abused, has high success rates in other states, and may take away an addict's urge to use altogether. As part of our occasional series, Effective from Passage, Ashton Mara and Jesse Wright explore this new treatment option and the bill that calls for a detailed study of its use in the state.
In the world of medication-assisted substance abuse treatment, there are three prescription drugs that are the most widely known: methadone, Suboxone, and Vivitrol. Methadone and Suboxone are synthetic opioid-based drugs used to wean people off illicit drugs like heroin or prescription painkillers, like oxycodone. Dr. Erica Pally works at Valley Alliance Treatment Services, a private medication-assisted treatment clinic in Morgantown. Pally is just starting to use Suboxone for treatment, but she most often prescribes methadone.
So how it works as a medication-assisted treatment is by replacing the drugs that they're used to. And you very gradually increase the dose until the patient is no longer in withdrawal and their cravings are blunted.
The problem with methadone, Pally says, is its bad reputation. Many people hear the name and think about its illegal use on the street or the doctors who have been arrested for passing out prescriptions. And while Pally says it is sometimes sold illegally, that doesn't mean the treatment option should be discounted.
The big complaint is, oh, you're just trading one drug for another, which is a very judgmental approach to it. And it's kind of coming from an abstinence-based philosophy, which doesn't really work that well. I think that one thing that's really important is that people need to realize that methadone clinics actually help people.
Still, there are some other barriers to drugs like methadone and Suboxone. For instance, addicts who choose those treatments must initially be supervised when they take the medication, meaning they have to be at the clinic every day to both receive and take the drugs.
And that's where Vivitrol comes in. Vivitrol is an opioid antagonist. Taken just once a month through injection, the drug enters an addict's system and coats the opioid receptors in the brain. That prevents an addict from feeling the high that comes with using heroin or prescription narcotics. While Vivitrol has been used clinically by some healthcare providers in the state, during the 2015 session, members of the West Virginia legislature approved a bill expanding access to the drug. Delegate Chris Stansberry was the lead sponsor.
It creates a unique pilot program within the criminal justice system in West Virginia.
Administered through the court system and paid for with Medicaid dollars from the state and federal government, the pilot program gives nonviolent, low-level drug offenders participating in drug courts the option to use Vivitrol alongside counseling and rehabilitative services. Drug courts are diversionary programs that allow addicts to work toward recovery with a team of medical and legal professionals instead of being incarcerated. The pilot doesn't just allow for Medicaid dollars to be used to purchase the drug. It also calls for 2 years of intense monitoring of Vivitrol's use in 5 counties. While those counties haven't been determined by the West Virginia Supreme Court just yet, Justice Brent Benjamin, who helped create the drug court program, says he expects that decision to come soon. Then, he says, the data collection will be crucial.
The one thing we stress, we underscore in drug courts, is that drug courts is an evidence-based program. We can tell what our reoccurrence rate is from people who graduate from the programs. They're very good. In fact, they're some of the best in the country. But we only know that because we keep the numbers.
But there are people who say Vivitrol won't work. Dr. Raleigh Sullivan runs West Virginia University Hospital's Addiction Treatment Clinic in Morgantown, where he specializes in using Suboxone coupled with individual and group therapy. Sullivan says he doesn't believe Vivitrol does much to help with an addict's urge to get high.
The cravings, which is that basic biologic brain illness that is addiction, doesn't go away when you're on Vivitrol. And it doesn't really get treated when you're on Vivitrol. That craving still sits there and gnaws at people. And it's curious to me because theoretically, you should be able to put someone on Vivitrol and it would work fine. It would keep, people wouldn't use drugs because they wouldn't get high. But in reality, people will use Vivitrol once, and the chances of them coming back for a second shot a month later are really low, and the chances of coming back for a third shot is almost non-existent.
It should be noted that Sullivan was once a paid spokesman for Suboxone's manufacturer, Reckitt Benckiser, but stopped accepting payment for speaking events in 2014.
Although the Federal Drug Administration hasn't affirmed the claim, supporters of Vivitrol disagree with Sullivan. They say, anecdotally, addicts have told them it does take away that itch to use. Ohio Representative Ryan Smith wrote the pilot program in his state that served as a model for West Virginia's legislation.
What's really unique and interesting to me is I've heard so much testimony on this, and the addicts all use the same, in independent conversations, have all said to me and in testimony, it took my craving away. And Vivitrol is the only thing that I've heard people say it took my craving away, because that's the battle we fight, is you get people clean for 30 days or 60 days and then they fall off the wagon and end up using again.
Just like in West Virginia, Ohio also administers the medication through state drug courts as an option for participants. Andrea Boxall is the deputy director of the Ohio Governor's Opiate Action Team. She says while 82% of the drug court participants in that state's six pilot counties chose Vivitrol, it's not necessarily any more effective than any other drug.
You know, you can use Vivitrol, which for some younger people who are just starting out in terms of heroin, it has been effective, but it has not been any more effective than methadone, which is something that's typically prescribed to people who are older who've been using dope for years, nor is it any more impactful than Suboxone. The best way to say it is there is no one size that fits all with this disease, as with heart disease, high blood pressure, or diabetes. You have to treat the individual and figure out which medication works best for that individual.
But no matter which side of the fence you're on, which medication you think is best, medical professionals, judges, politicians, they all say the same thing about the medications. They can't be used alone. Again, Justice Benjamin.
It's not something that's done just by itself. It has to be done with a great deal of education, counseling, and so on, so that the person understands what's going on.
Once counties are identified, both Justice Benjamin and Delegate Stansberry expect the Vivitrol pilot program in West Virginia to begin quickly. The bill went into effect earlier this week.
Those eligible for Medicaid or other government assistance within the pilot counties will have the option to use Vivitrol, but no medication or even participation in the drug court program is required.
Court officials expect to have preliminary results from the pilot program to report to the legislature during the 2016 session. A final report is due in 2017. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
And this is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:52. Mostly cloudy skies today with isolated rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the mid-70s to the mid-80s. Cloudy overnight with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms. Lows in the 60s for tomorrow. Same as today. Mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 70s to the mid-80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Tamarack, where Sharon Gravely's mint candies look like lumps of coal. Located at I-77, exit 45, and tamarackwv.com. We also have support provided by Festival Charleston, June 19th through the 28th, with La Caja Folle, presented by the Charleston Light Opera Guild. FestivalCharleston.com. West Virginia, wild and wonderful.
A group of young artists and friends are making their way through West Virginia this week. The group, known as the Travelin' Appalachian Review, has been performing indie rock music and reading poetry and short stories. Student reporter Jade Arthur Holtz traveled along with them to their opening show in Elkins.
At a small bar and restaurant in Elkins, El Gran Sabor, the traveling artists finish setting up as a crowd of young people begin to fill the tables surrounding the stage. Some are drinking beers, some ordering food. They're all here to see the opening night of a tour called The Tales of Tribulations and Turpitude. The group's organizers chose to kick off their five-day tour during the week of West Virginia's birthday because they couldn't think of a better time to celebrate their home state.
It's a project that is meant to involve Appalachians as a whole, and younger people definitely are included in that. Obviously, we want that to be not necessarily such a like an outreach as much as it is just trying to maintain inclusiveness throughout the community. I'm Tyler Grady. I am the coordinator of the Traveling Appalachians Review, and I am originally from Romney, West Virginia.
The other main organizer of this tour is Howard Parsons, a writer from Morgantown, West Virginia. Here he is reading from his story, The New 43. In this story, he tells about a relationship fading to an end.
So it was like this. The public dock was warm in the sun, and the sun was glorious. The wooden planks were steaming sweetly where they were wet. I was laying with my stomach a bare on the wood, a cheek pressed into the grain, and I was watching my fingers trail in the Mon River, watching them draw spirals.
The event includes readings from writers like Howard and music by different groups like Tyler's band Good Wolf. Good Wolf's album, Car in the Woods, was inspired by a hangout spot in Morgantown Tyler and his friends like to go to.
I'm not going to tell anybody where it is because it's my own little secret shared with our friends.
And so what inspired the name Tales of Tribulations and Turpitude? Where did that come from?
Yeah, Appalachia is generally stereotyped and categorized really easily. And kind of in fitting with that, we decided to use some like somewhat archaic terms to kind of say, here are some stories and experiences that aren't necessarily the typical Appalachian experience, but at the same time, part of it because we are all part of it, no matter what the content of the story. Am I saying the right thing?
I couldn't have said it better.
Okay.
That's right. Everyone has a hard time, and everyone gets a little dirty sometimes. So those are the translation for those two words.
Yeah.
Many Appalachians are leaving West Virginia, but this group of friends have chosen to stick around and thrive in their home state. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jade Arthur Holtz in Elkins.
The Tales of Tribulations and Turpitude will be in Morgantown at the Monongalia Arts Center tonight and will conclude Saturday night at the Blue Moon in Shepherdstown. After nearly two decades fronting iconic emo band Dashboard Confessional, Chris Carrabba formed the heavily pop and Americana-influenced acoustic quartet Twin Forks. Here's Twin Forks with Kiss Me Darling on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Kiss me, darling, it's been a long time. Kiss me, darling, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I saw you in the booth playing mandolin. Something in you singing made my burden slip. Hanging on to every word across your lips. It seems like a long way gone, but I can still remember how you sang that song. Smiling like nobody'd ever done you wrong. Drumming like you knew you had me all along. So kiss me, darling. It's been a long time. Kiss me, darling. It's been a long time. So kiss me, darling. Kiss me, darling. Will I keep your picture close? I'd like to have it with me when I'm far from home. Missing you's the hardest thing I've ever known. Hate to think about you being all alone. So I'll take the last train back. I'll wake you when I get there, cause I miss you bad. Need to be more than I ever have. Counting every stop along the railroad tracks. So kiss me, darling. It's been a long time. Kiss me, darling. It's been a long, long time. And a thousand nights. Never dreamt a second of a better sight. Stumbling on you singing in a lone street light. Taking my burdens away.
That was Twin Forks with Kiss Me Darling. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Bohr, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, and Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.